Chapter 3. Camelot. As we approached the town, I began to see signs of life. The man on the horse rode in silence while I followed behind, trying to make sense of the strange things I saw. We passed several small houses with straw roofs and small fields and gardens around them. I saw men with long hair that hung down over their faces. The men and women wore long robes and sandals, and the children were wearing hardly any clothes at all. I wasn't too surprised. I had met people who dressed strangely before, and I thought they belonged to a new religious sect. They probably didn't believe in wearing modern clothes. However, nobody looked at the man on the horse. They seemed to think he was perfectly normal. To my even greater surprise, everyone stared and pointed at me. They even ran into their houses and brought out their families to look at me. I couldn't understand what they thought was so unusual. The town was not at all like Hartford. There were some stone houses without windows and some smaller houses with straw roofs. Children and dogs were playing in the sun, and I saw a family of pigs sitting in the middle of the road. I couldn't see any shops anywhere. Also, there weren't any machines or vehicles, and the children didn't have toys or bicycles. These people are probably trying to escape from the stress of modern living, I thought. I can understand them. Soon, we heard the sound of military music, and a parade of men on horses passed along the street. The men were wearing helmets with blue, yellow, and green feathers, and they were carrying red and gold banners and long spears. There must be a festival of some kind, I thought. For a moment, I forgot about the man I was with, and I stopped to enjoy the parade. After a few seconds, I felt the point of the man's spear in my back, pushing me forwards. "Walk on! We're almost at the castle," he shouted. I wondered whether I should call for help, but I decided that I'd better continue walking. We followed the parade up a hill until we came to an enormous castle. This must be the psychiatric hospital, I thought. At last, they'll put this madman where he belongs. The castle gates opened, the drawbridge was lowered, and we entered a courtyard full of people. The madman got off his horse.
"Wait here," he said.
He walked across the courtyard, opened a big wooden door, and went inside a room. That gave me time to explore my surroundings a little. To my surprise, the people inside were even more unusually dressed than the people I had seen in the town. The men were wearing brightly colored tights and silk shirts, and they had long feathers in their hats. The women were wearing long dresses made from expensive cloth. I touched a man on the shoulder and asked him quietly, "Are you a patient here, or are you just visiting?" The man didn't understand my question. He just stared at me. "You must be a patient," I said. I stopped another man. "Can I see the hospital attendant?" I asked.
"Please don't disturb me," the man said. "I'm a cook, and I haven't got time to talk to anyone. Although I'd really like to know where you got your strange clothes."
"He's wearing yellow tights, and he thinks my clothes are strange," I thought. I looked around, hoping to find someone who looked normal. A boy wearing orange tights and a blue silk shirt came over to talk to me.
"Did you make those strange clothes?"
he asked.
"No, I didn't, and my clothes are perfectly normal," I replied.
"How long have you been in this place?"
"I was born in the castle in the year 513, he said. "My mother has worked here most of her life."
When I heard this, I shook with fear. I could hardly speak.
"What did you say? What year were you born?" I whispered.
513,
the boy replied.
"Come on, be honest," I said. "Are you mad? Are all these people mad?"
"No, we aren't mad," the boy said.
So this isn't a psychiatric hospital? I said.
A what?
The boy replied. Well, either I'm mad or something terrible has happened, I said. Now tell me, where am I?
In King Arthur's court,
the boy replied.
What did you say? I said. I don't think I heard you correctly.
In King Arthur's court, the boy repeated.
I looked around me. I suddenly had a terrible feeling that the boy was telling the truth. But how could it be? What year is it now? I asked.
It's 528. It's the 19th of June, 528, the boy replied.
I must have become white with shock because the boy took my arm. Don't faint here, he said.
Prisoners aren't allowed to lie down in the courtyard. What do you mean, prisoner? I asked.
The man who brought you here is called Sir Kay, the boy replied.
You are his prisoner.
Soon he will take you to see King Arthur and his knights. Sir Kay will tell everyone how he caught you. Then you will be thrown into a dungeon and left there. But I, Clarence, will come and visit you and cheer you up.
This is terrible, I cried. How did this happen? I'll never see my friends again.
If the boy were telling the truth about the year, I had gone back in time. 1,300 years back. I couldn't believe it. I had to prove that the boy wasn't lying. I've always been interested in astronomy, and I've read many books about eclipses. I remembered reading that there had been a total eclipse of the sun on the 21st of June, 528. The eclipse began at 3 minutes after 12 noon. If the boy were correct about the date, the eclipse would happen in 2 days.